This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning to you, the last day of the month of November, and we're in the midst of a holiday weekend. Thanks for joining us on our Smart Garden Show. Danny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. We promised you that she would be answering all of your lawn and garden questions today with 6 degrees above zero. We're talking lawns and gardens. But you know what? I'm looking at all these text messages. People still, as you know, want to talk about lawns and gardens. Doesn't matter the time of year. We welcome those either by phone or by text. And if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Let's say hello to Teresa. Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. This is the holiday weekend. And there was some event I wanted to talk to you about, and I made note of it somewhere, and I can't find it. So, but you know what I'm talking about.
Probably the Hort course?
Yes, yes. Okay. What's that about?
Okay. So, if you're a Master Gardener intern or a brand new Master Gardener, you went through the Hort course last year, and our new Master Gardeners are going through this year. You as the public can also go through that course, take the same classes, go to live question and answer sessions with Laura. You can get a booklet, it's a big, huge book, and you can do it yourself, and then you don't have to do those pesky volunteer hours that we Master Gardeners do, but you can learn all the stuff that you want to learn about gardening. It's really great for anybody who loves gardening. Maybe you have a gardening business, or maybe you're in a nursery somewhere and you just want to learn more about gardens. I mean, a plant nursery, not a child nursery, but you just want to learn more about gardens. You just have a passion of learning. There's so many different things you can learn about. You can learn about, what's that stuff we call IPM? I'm doing secret codes here for you now. Or botany, vegetables, ornamentals, lawns. If you're a lawn guru, you can learn all about your lawns and weeds, indoor plants. Then you can learn about what plant diagnostics is. This is a self-guided course. It's all online, so you don't have to go out in the middle of winter and, you know, get all bundled up. You can do it at your own pace. But there are optional also lawn and garden, or Q&A sessions. So you can ask questions. You'll connect with educators. You'll just learn a lot. And then there's opportunities for you then later to maybe go to classes at the Arboretum, get some hands-on experience. It's just amazing. So if you're interested in plants at all, I'd say look it up. Check it out. You can either go to extension.umn.edu, and we have a great article down at the bottom of the page, or go to the Arboretum website, Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, and it's in their classes schedule. You can look on there. There's also a YouTube video, so you can learn a little bit more about it if you want.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I can't recommend it strong enough.
Let's remind our listeners before you take your leave this hour about that very thing. Let's do that again,
right,
in case somebody missed it.
Right.
Again, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, let's hear from you sooner rather than later. You know how busy we tend to get. 651-461-9226. You know, we're getting a lot of questions, and I guess I had part of the question myself about dormant seeding. We're getting a lot of questions.
I knew that was going to be the first question out.
Someone says, is it okay to dormant seed? Another one is asking about even though I'm seeing some lawn poke through a little bit of snow, there's grass poking through. Can I? We still dormancy it? And as I recall, what our friend Julie Weisenhorn said, our turf guru John Trappi from the U of M said, you can dormancy seed now till March.
This is perfect. Yep. It's a perfect time to dormant seed, especially if we only have a little bit of snow on the ground. If you have 2 feet of snow, I probably wouldn't dormant seed.
Right.
But if you have just a little bit of snow, sure, get that seed out there right away. It'll be covered by the next snowstorm or whatever. It'll sink into the snow, and it'll be there ready to jump up in the spring and start growing. So now's a perfect time to dormant seed.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to finish mine, as a matter of fact, this weekend. Texter said this, Teresa, I inherited a Christmas cactus that flourished this summer. The end of September, I put the plant through total dark with 8 hours of daylight, developed many buds. Plant is stored in a sunroom with no heat. During these cold times, temps get as low as 50, daytime high of 60 plus with sun. Is this too cold? What do you think?
You know, it's starting to border on too cold. I would probably add some heat to that room if you can, or bring it in and enjoy it for the holiday season. Be very careful when you move it because those buds fall off really super easily. So put it in a place where it's not going to be in the draft. It'll get indirect light. It won't be over a heater or something like that. People aren't going to be opening the door and exposing it to chilling cold, or you're not going to have to walk by every time you go into the kitchen and knock off buds. But put it in a nice place where you can enjoy it, and you should start to see some of those blossoms start to open. Those buds start to open so you can enjoy it for the holiday season. And just for next year, it doesn't need to go in the dark. It just needs a difference between night and day temperatures to help trigger it to start flowering. So you don't have to go that extra work next year.
Teresa, this time of year, this holiday season, we like to talk from time to time about gifts, hostess gifts. For those that maybe have a green thumb or not, what would you suggest if someone's going to be visiting, family or friends?
You know,
what would be a nice gift, a green and growing thing?
Okay, so poinsettias are always wonderful. A lot of people worry that they're poisonous. They are if you probably eat 500 or 600 of them. But they do have a white, sticky juice that they can that is in the leaves and the stems, and that tastes really icky, so you're not going to get a lot of those people eating them. So holiday cactuses, lots of those are beautiful. Cyclamens are very beautiful, but they can be poisonous, or they are poisonous for pets, so be careful. But poinsettias are always wonderful, and when you're bringing them outside, make sure they're double wrapped. If it's below 32 degrees, put double wrap around them, two plastics, and try to get an air bubble in there to keep it warm. They're very sensitive to cold, but things like that are great always to bring to as a hostess gift. There'll also be a lot of markets out at the Arboretum that you could go to find wonderful local gifts if you're shopping locally, because today is Local Saturday.
That's right.
So there's the Apple House out there, and then there will be things at the Arboretum that you can shop at, two markets at the Arboretum. So, yeah,
hostess. Some good ideas.
Plants are wonderful. You know, packets of seeds, a nice little trowel, something like that. If you know your hostess needs a new trowel or a kneeling pad or something, are always fun too for the gardeners.
You know, that's a great suggestion. I received last year a pair of pruning shears, really good ones. You know, like Swiss
those,
made.
Yep, those are like a treasure.
Yeah, like an heirloom almost.
So that person must really like you, Denny.
I almost don't want to use it. That's so nice, but I will and have.
Okay.
I tell you what, let's do. I'm getting a bit of a signal here. We should take a quick break.
Okay.
Let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. We have texters already. If you'd like to call and chat on this holiday weekend with Teresa, by all means, or just send a text, 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back on this holiday weekend. More smart garden talk. Lawn and garden talk. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those particular questions, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226.
And Denny, right. I hope I'm a little louder now.
Hey, that sounds really good.
All right.
Perfect. Just perfect. This listener says, if I can find it, they want to know some advice here. What's a good low-maintenance flowering indoor plant for the winter months? Love the show. Well, thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. That's an excellent question. I'm all for low maintenance because I'm really a lazy gardener. But one of the most low maintenance plants I think you'll find that flowers is African violets. They don't need high light. They can be smaller or bigger depending upon your size of your area that you need, and they can flower quite nicely. I would definitely suggest to go to extension.umn.edu, and we have a houseplant area there, and it'll tell you, give you little tips about the African violets. And then if you want to branch out a little bit from them, they're not flowering, but some of the begonias have these amazing leaves that might as well be flowers. They're so gorgeous and so pretty. So you can complement them, and they grow in similar conditions to your African violets, and you can start a whole houseplant collection, and then you'll be hooked, and you'll be even listening to the show more.
And I can't emphasize enough what a great website that is, extension.umn.edu. So much information, whether it's lawns and gardens, whatever the case may be. I learned a lot about tomatoes, and if you're going to choose a shrub or a tree,
oh, definitely.
Things like that.
Gives
yeah.
you lots of really good ideas, learns about native plants and diseases and pests if you want to learn about that kind of stuff. But just great ideas from anything you want to do with gardening or plants.
We'll just and then you can go to the Arboretum and see how they're growing.
And see how they're growing. Yes, you can.
All right. Here's a text. By the way, call or text 651-461-9226. When drying flowers, should you spray the flowers with a preservative? When you're drying them?
You know, it depends on what kind of flowers you're doing and how you're drying them and how you're going to be using them. So I'm falling back on the master gardener refrain of it depends. So if you're going to be pressing them, you may not need to spray them with a preservative after you're done pressing them. If you're using them in a bouquet, perhaps a fixative would help, but I would just maybe go online and look at how to preserve that particular flower in the way that you are going to be using it. So it really depends on the flower and how you dry it, and then how you're going to use it afterwards.
Texter says this, Teresa: I have several Christmas cacti that are blooming, and one Thanksgiving that only has one blossom and did not produce any last year. Is it okay to give it a week fertilization?
Yes, go ahead and give it a week fertilization. That'll be fine. And then make sure that you haven't just repotted it, because they like their roots nice and tight. So that could be why it didn't flower this year this much for you. Maybe you had just repotted it or something like that. And again, I suggest going over to the Extension website page and look at the Christmas cactus or the holiday cactus, and you can get some good tips on those. Little tips that might help you, give you an idea of why that one might not have flowered so well for you.
You know, Teresa, this time of the year, too, I always like to ask you about the Master Gardener program. And more specifically, are there folks more interested? I like to ask you that every year at this time. And what's the situation? Are guys getting involved along with the women?
They yep. Are. So we're getting a lot of people across a wide range of ages, you know, genders, whatever, men, women, trans people. You know, we want people of color in there. It's becoming more diverse, which is what we're looking for, because we have a diverse community. So we need to reach out to that community. We want to reflect the communities we live in. Lots of different ages are coming in, which is helpful that they're not all old fogies like me. There's a lot of young people out there, and the interest seems to be there. And the people that we interviewed, we call them conversations here in Hennepin County, not interviews, so it's not so scary, but they were amazing. I don't know where all these wonderfully smart, dedicated people come from, but the people are just amazing. And all these people will be starting classes in January, the Pro Hort class, but they'll have to put in their volunteer work afterwards to become master gardeners. But, yep, we're getting a wide range of people, and we're excited to see it. So think about it for next year.
Yeah, what kind of qualifications? I'm thinking if I try to do that, I'm probably not qualified. But what?
Okay. So in my mind, a master gardener is someone who loves to learn about gardening or plants or indoor plants. They just have that passion. They just love learning, and they want to learn research-based information, and then they want to share that information out in their community. And if that's you, if that describes you, you can become a master gardener, because that's what master gardeners are. You'll find the people, you'll find your tribe out there, the people that love to talk about gardening and love to learn about weird things to do, you know, in the garden, how to defend against pests, or how to grow this, or how to grow that, or how to, design gardens, or help in community gardens, or do food preservation. There's just amazing variety of ways that you can funnel your interest, and then you share that interest with your community and you help your community. So that's what a master gardener is. Denny, you would be a perfect master gardener.
Now,
I don't know where you would fit it in your life, because you're kind of busy. That could be the problem. But you'd be a great master gardener.
That's it. I'm too busy. Okay.
I let you off the hook, Denny.
Thank you very much. In the meantime, we'd love to hear more from listeners if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question on our show. 651-461-9226. Before we have a look at that forecast, let me slide in one more text.
Okay.
This texter says, I dug out my calla lily bulbs a couple of weeks ago, just put them in a paper bag, roots and all, without brushing off the dirt. Is that okay? And how cold can I let them get in the garage before moving them to a cool spot in the house? Couple of questions.
That's a good question. If you knock off most of the dirt, that's fine. You don't need to bring a lot of dirt into the house. However, if they're fine the way they are in the paper bag, don't worry about it. I would bring them in, especially if you have a detached garage. It's getting a little chilly out there. You don't want them to get below about 40, 45 degrees. You want to keep it in that sweet spot, and then put them in a cool area in your home, whether that's in the basement, a closet you don't use that much that's on an outside wall that stays a little cooler. You don't want it to get 50, 60, 70 degrees. You want to stick it in between that 40, 45, 48 degree temperature. Good luck.
All right. Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a break, see what that chilling forecast will give us. And then we have about another half hour of the show to go. So by all means, any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of those lawn and garden questions you may have this morning. How do you get here? Well, either call or text 651-461-9226. I'm looking at a bunch of text messages, Teresa. But, you know, before we get to that, I mentioned getting to the Arboretum. We always like to bring that great resource up. And I know it's a chilling weekend, but this is a great time of year, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, other holidays, where people get visited by family and friends. It's a great place to take them, right?
It's a wonderful place to take them. Get them out of the house. Give your house a little break from the extra people and go out to the Arboretum. There's usually a market on the weekends. There's lots of markets. There's the Apple House Market that you can go to. And then if you're all just so freezing cold and you just want some wonderful green stuff, there's the conservatory. Go in, get some nice moist air, see some plants, some greenery, pretend you're in the jungle. There's just so much to do. If you have somebody who loves art, there's all kinds of amazing art out there. And then it's just an amazing place to go. Maybe walk 3 mile drive or walk through some of the gardens and see what winter interest looks like.
You can have lunch there too, right?
You can have lunch there. It's just take your folks out, take your people out, your visitors out, show them one of the jewels, one of the gems in Minnesota. And it's just beautiful. I can't recommend it enough. Yep, it's just so beautiful.
And it's a relatively quick drive. You just head west on Highway 5 toward Chanhassen, Chaska, 41. That's the closest intersection, 5 and 41, just about a half mile.
And it's just there on the south side of the road. Yep. So go out and visit the markets. The Herb Society will be having a sale out there, so you can buy herby stuff. And
all right.
It's just amazing. Yes.
Yeah. Great place. The University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. All right, looking at a text, Teresa, that says, I have a jade plant, and occasionally there's a tiny fly, like a fruit fly, in my living room. I'm wondering if it could be from my jade plant, or if so, how can I organically get rid of them?
Oh, it's probably a fungus net. Unless you have bananas, you could have brought in a fruit fly. That's possible, too. But if it's really tiny and it looks like maybe a fruit fly, or it could be a fungus net also, I would definitely go to the Extension website, and you can find ways to deal with fungus gnats. Normally, your jade plant will run a little drier anyway, so they don't normally have a problem with that. But if you're overwatering your jade, make sure to back off on the watering. The fungus gnats actually like moist soil, so if you can let the soil dry a little bit between, that will help out a lot. And then just try, you could even use yellow sticky traps, put them by the plant, maybe shine a light on them all night long so that the bright yellow paper is there, the sticky, and the little flies will be attracted to that bright yellow and get stuck on that. Then you can just throw that away.
I'm looking at a text that basically is saying, what kind of mistakes do we homeowners make with indoor plants or plants that we take in? And that's basically what the question is. Are there, what kind of mistakes do we make in,
sure,
could be watering or not watering, whatever the case
that's
is?
That's an excellent question. So first of all, make sure that you're going to be giving the plant a place where it can live inside, enough light and enough warmth. But when you bring plants in, may not clean them off well enough, so you bring in hitchhikers. So you want to make sure that they get nice and clean before they come in the house. And lots of times with our indoor plants, we're too nice to them. We give them too much water. So you want to make sure you're watering the proper amount and research that plant. Every plant needs different kinds, different amounts of water. Those are the main things I find. If your plant is not actively growing, you don't need to be fertilizing it. If it's flowering or actively growing, putting on new leaves, then you can lightly fertilize. And I'd probably go half strength on the fertilizer, and then maybe every 2 weeks, maybe every once a week with the watering, or just when you water, just go half strength on the fertilizer. So don't over fertilize. Don't overwater. Don't be too nice to it. And just make sure they're clean before they come in the house. And that means if you buy a plant, you're getting a new holiday cactus or something, if you can segregate it from the other plants for 1 or 2 weeks, just to make sure it didn't come in with any hitchhikers, and then it can go in the place where you want it to be showing off to its best ability.
All right. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Texter says, I received a gift of a Meyer lemon tree, but have no idea how to care for it. We used to have one here, and we did get some
delicious
fruit
lemons.
Out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and but it ended up, I think, with a lot of bugs, as
yep.
I recall.
Yep. There, and that's because they would like to be outside, not in our climate, but they would like to be outside. So it's going to need very strong light, or probably a plant light of some type for it. So it's going to need bright light. You don't want to overwater it, you don't want to underwater it, but do give it room to grow. Give it a bright light. It often will flower, and the flowers will smell delicious. And oftentimes those flowers will actually turn into fruit for you. So you may even get some lemons from it. And again, not to be a broken record, but head over to the Extension website. There's great information about how to grow citrus trees in the house, because citrus trees want to be outside in full California or southern sun. They struggle in our dark, cool houses in the wintertime. So then they can be susceptible to a variety of pests, and you just have to watch for them and then take care of that appropriately.
What kind of fruit trees do grow here? It seemed to me my folks 100 years ago had a pear tree.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so outside, if you want to grow fruit, we can grow fruit in every county in Minnesota. We have grown fruit in every county. That means even way up north, we can grow fruit. There's apples, pears, plums, peaches here in the cities or in further south. Cherry trees are wonderful. There's a lot of different fruit trees that we can grow outside. We can't grow oranges and lemons outside all year long, though. But so the citrus is not for us. But there are a lot of different fruits you can go. You can try. I was going to say papaya, and that's not the one I'm looking for. But it does start with a P, and I can't remember what it is right away. But there's it's tender here. But there's a lot of fruit trees we can grow here in Minnesota. So you may not grow an orange tree outside, but you can grow the best apples you'll ever taste or the best sour cherries you'll ever taste.
Oh, we've got some great apples.
We do.
No,
we do.
No doubt. Yeah, get to the apple house. You're going to find some great apples there.
Mm-hmm.
Texter says this, Teresa, is it okay to use the preservative package that comes with fresh flowers on plants? On plants, they want to know.
I wouldn't use it on plants. It's basically, I would use it in the flowers. And what I believe it does is it kills a lot of the bacteria in the water so that the flowers can remain vibrant a little bit longer. So it's not really a food, so to speak. So it's not a fertilizer. It's more just it's a water conditioner. So don't use it on your plants, but do use it on your flowers.
Speaking of water conditioner, here's a question. I know what you're going to say. Texter says this, I recently moved to a house in Eagan that has a water softener. Is it okay to use soft water to water my house plants?
I would say no. Think of your water softener because it has salt in it. You're not going to want to put salty water on your plants. And even though the salt is minimal, so you don't taste it, it can build up in the soil. And most of our plants don't live in salty soils. So don't use that water. You may want to run it through, take it from a tap that doesn't have softened water in it. Maybe it's a tap for, I don't know, something in the basement or something. Or just buy some distilled water or some jug water at the grocery store and then just use that instead. Don't use the water softener water.
Although some folks have, who knows how many plants people are going to have to water, mm-hmm. but you could get one of these handheld filter systems.
You can
pour, you know, and mm-hmm. have it mm-hmm. kind of purified that way. But yeah, that's what I remember Julie and everybody saying, no, don't use
yep.
softened water if you can help
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what else we have here. How do I, Texter says, upkeep a potted calacho plant? I trimmed off the dead flower heads.
Okay, so that's a plant that requires bright light. So all you need to do is treat it like like you would a jade or a succulent. So it's not going to be as dry as a cactus, but it's not going to be as moist as a fern. You want to keep it a little on the drier side, but not as dry as a cactus. And it needs bright, bright, bright light. And it'll be really happy for you and probably start to reflower. Once you start to see new growth and more flowers, then you can give it a little bit of fertilizer. Always try to go at half strength when you're doing that. You don't want to over-fertilize. Remember, those pots are little. And the fertilizer can build up. It has salts in it, too, so you don't want to over-fertilize the plants in the pots.
All right, very good. I tell you what, let's do a quick break here. And again, before we run out of time, invite our listeners to send us a text or call. If you want to chat with Teresa, that's great. Or send your lawn and garden question via text, 651-461-9226. Just a reminder, coming along next hour, Andy Lindis will return from Lindis Construction, and we'll be taking any kind of a home improvement question you may have next hour on our Home Improvement Show. Sunshine today. We expect highs, if you want to call it that, near 16 degrees. We dropped to 9 overnight, near 22 the daytime high tomorrow. And looking ahead, Monday, we'll get up to near 25. However, right now there's a wind chill of -8. We have a west wind at 9. Fair skies on this Saturday, 6 degrees above zero. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We are here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is doing all the work here, answering those particular questions, either by phone or by text. If you want to call Teresa, we have an open line, or if you want to send a text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, they have had a gift orchids this week, I think they're trying to say. There are two stalks planted with mother-in-law tongue. The flowers on both stalks are dying. I've had lots of orchids, and they usually last for many weeks, so I don't think it's light or overwatering. What could have happened?
It could have been hit by a frost, the cold weather. So if it was being transported and not warm enough, that could have done it. Or perhaps the orchids were just past their blooming time, and that's just normal for them. So you've had orchids before. You know how to take care of them. Those would be the two options I would think of, that it got hit by a cold blast in transporting, because Denny has bad weather forecasts. And he keeps making cold weather temperatures. And yeah. And I'm protesting that, Denny.
I'm with you there.
That would be my guess. Or it was just the orchid was past the bloom. So what you can do is just cut those you can cut right below where the last bloom is. And sometimes it does put out a new growth and new blooms right away for you. Soon, quickly after that. Or it may just be that you have to wait till next year for it to bloom again.
You know, I'm thinking before we run out of time, and you had mentioned something at the top of the hour, mm-hmm. or the top of our show, and folks, you know, tune in, tune out, and they may have joined us late.
Yep.
But there's an event going on.
There is.
That we should talk about.
There is. It's called the Pro Hort Course. It's online learning that you can do. It's just like what the Master Gardeners do. So you can sign up online, and there are some live question and answer sessions that you'll be invited to. But this is a real good course if you like to learn about gardening, if you work in the gardening industry, if you're a landscaper, or you work in a plant nursery, or you just want to learn more stuff about gardening without having to do Master Gardener volunteer work. You can find the information at the extension.umn.edu. We have an article there, or you can go to the Arboretum website and learn about it there. And there is a nice YouTube little video that will go over everything for you. It's a self-guided course, so if you have time to do a bunch of sections first thing, and then you need to take a break because you're headed down to Florida for a few months and you don't want to study down there, so it's a self-guided, self-regulated class, but there are some live question and answer sessions you'll be invited to if you want to come.
That sounds kind of non-threatening.
It's very non-threatening.
Yeah.
So it's just online. You don't have to go out in the middle of winter to a classroom somewhere. You can sit there in your jammies and sip hot cocoa and learn about plants and stuff.
Great idea. Get on the web. extension.umn.edu. Texter says this, love the show, thank you. I've successfully planted, they say, Easter lilies outside in the spring. I have one that did not make it into the ground and still in a pot. What do I do with it now?
You could try to grow it in as a houseplant. You can try that. Remember that Easter lilies are deadly poison to cats. So if you do have a cat, keep them very separate. Just a little bit can kill a cat. Just wipe it right out. Otherwise, just try to keep it alive as a houseplant, because obviously you can't get it planted outside anymore.
Okay. As you know, we have the smartest listeners around.
We do.
And this texter, and I'm not sure if we have it here at our house, but this listener said many homes are plumbed with a water softener, who have a water softener, have the kitchen faucet mm-hmm. cold side plumbed for non-softened water.
Right.
I should know that, but I don't. I think everything except for the outside faucets, I think it's all soft water. So that's something you have checked.
Yep.
For sure. So that would be great. You'd be in luck if that's the case.
You'd be in luck. And then if that's the case and you do pull water out of the cold faucet, if possible, leave it sit open overnight so to evaporate any chlorine that may be in there.
Mm.
And also to bring it up to room temperature. You never want to put icy cold or hot water on plants. You want room temperature water on plants.
We're fortunate over the past, 20-some years, I suppose, to have a Kinetico system in mm-hmm. our house, and like a lot of us do here on CCO. Mm-hmm. And boy, that works just great.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't want to run out of time. Here's another one. How do you water a passion flower vine in the winter? Mine gets yellow leaves that fall off, so I cut back on water and it wilts. In the summer, it likes a lot of water.
So make sure in the winter time that you may need to buy a jug of water from the store, maybe a distilled water or something. I'm not sure if they're super sensitive to chlorinated water, so you have to check on that. Otherwise, I would just make sure it's getting enough light inside your house and enough warmth. It shouldn't have to die back, but maybe it just needs a little rest time. And then if it comes out of that every year, just fine. Perhaps your vine just needs a little rest, and then it can come out fine. It's just probably might be a light situation because we get so dark in the wintertime, so many overcast days and just not that much sun out there.
Okay.
I know you're growing it in the house. I know you're doing that.
Yes. Listener, I'm trying to shorten this, here is talking about the dormant seeding a lot, but this listener wants to grow some ornamental grasses. How do they do that, and what kinds do they look for?
So if they're going to do it from seed, just purchase any ornamental grass at the store in little seed packets. If you go to a reputable source, it'll say, you know, zone 4 or 5 or 3, southern Minnesota zone 5. Then as you get further north, the zones get colder or smaller. You can plant those now. You could plant those seeds outside. Otherwise, you could do winter sowing, S-O-W-I-N-G, and you can Google how to do that online, where you plant them in milk jugs and put them out in January, February. They probably need winter stratification. Any of our native ornamental grasses will work like that, and a lot of the non-natives like miscanthus or the Carl Forrester grass will work like that too. So you can, there's a lot of grasses, and definitely head over to the Extension website. They can give you some great information on ornamental grasses.
Extension.umn.edu.
Exactly.
Couple minutes to go on the show. Texter says, I enjoy having a bird feeder. We do too. But the birds make a mess in the ground below, which attracts bunnies and squirrels. Mm-hmm. Is there anything I can do, or is it what it is, Texter says?
Two things. It is what it is. Also, don't overfeed. Don't fill the feeders up so much so the birds eat a lot of it, and then it'll bring in the ground birds like the juncos and things like that that will eat the ground seeds. You can buy, if it's shells that you're getting, you can buy the shellless seeds where they've already been shelled for you, so you don't have the seed shells like the sunflower shells down there. Otherwise, you can also put a baffle or a screen upside down under it to catch those seeds. It's going to catch the snow too, so it gets kind of messy. Otherwise, it just is what it is with bunnies, and it is what it is. And just protect your plants. This is really important now. Protect your plants now. Start wrapping them with the chicken wire or the hardware cloth so the bunnies and the deer and the mice don't eat them all winter before the snow gets here.
That's a good idea. And bundle up if you're going to do it this weekend.
Yes, because Denny has bad
it's my
weather
forecast.
Predictions.
I'm sorry.
It's all his fault.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
One more text, I think, is about our time here. My daughter, Texas, has brought in her phlox for the winter. Any recommendations for taking care of it this winter? It seems to have new growth.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought to bring in phlox. Otherwise, just keep it as happy as you can. Give it as much light as you can. And just watch for insects and then treat them accordingly if you happen to get them. Don't overwater it. If it's happily growing, then you can give it a little bit of fertilizer. I'd go really low on the fertilizer. It doesn't need a lot. But give it as much sun as you can, and good luck.
1 minute to go. Texter says, this is her final text, by the way, my friend puts coffee in her plants once in a while. Is that okay?
That's fine. The plants don't get over caffeinated. They won't be jittery or anything. Coffee's fine for plants, yep.
What is supposedly the good part about coffee grounds for that?
Coffee grounds, if you're using those in the garden, they have a tiny bit of nitrogen, and it does add some organic matter to the soil. But you don't want to go really heavy because they can crust over and prevent water from getting in. So,
can you use
decaf? You can throw them on your lawn, too. Yep, decaf is fine. You can use the coffee grounds on your lawn, too, because they'll give it a little nitrogen.
All right. Excellent. Teresa, always a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving
My
on this
pleasure.
Holiday weekend.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And we will talk soon. Thank you so much for all your good work.
Okay, bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney.